This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, of course, here, if they go into the fifth dimension, does that mean to get them to go back, you have to get them to say their name backwards? I know most people don't understand the connection of that. But
Mitzelflix, Gene. Mitzelflix.
Mixes Pitlick. That's, I think, one pronunciation of it that I heard. Yes, of course. Of course. Anyway, Stan, let's continue. So the suggestion here is because they wink out, they're winking into another dimension. Is that your perception?
Well, again, there's a lot of data out there. It is not just in Pennsylvania. I'm now going back to the 70s with many other researchers I interviewed, and even in recent years, I'm in touch with a lot of prominent and others that are not so well-known people in the field. They all have the similar data. They're all seeing these kind of reports, but as I found years ago, you know, many people in the UFO field do not want to associate UFOs and Bigfoot, and vice versa. Many people in the Bigfoot field who believe we're dealing with something, a physical unknown animal, don't want to connect Bigfoot and UFOs. My position has always been, I don't have the answers. This is what's turning up from many different areas and different people. I'm documenting the information. I don't have the answers, but there's something going on, and it's something that needs serious research.
Some of the cases that stand out for me or that I'm interested in, this is both the case for, you know, ufology or this, you know, the UFO phenomena, but then also for Bigfoot. And that is situations where, for example, people startle Bigfoot or they startle aliens, which to me suggests many other things. It's a very interesting notion to go down. But do you recall any cases where people have startled either Bigfoot or aliens and what that is? But I call a more, they're more of a level playing field. So, for example, you're not being abducted. You just kind of find yourself in the same place at the same time.
Exactly. And this is interesting what you brought up, because I've been bringing this up for the last 2 to 3 years, that we're getting more reports from people who are observing or encountering these creatures, and they're mentioning the fact that when they encounter these creatures, both Bigfoot and other cryptids, that the creatures seem to be startled that they're able to be seen by the human observer. And I've been saying, I think that could be an interesting clue to what we're dealing with. So, yeah, this is something that's being brought up more and more by different people.
What does that suggest then? So when I think that through, what that suggests to me is there's a lot more activity going on the planet, so to speak, or that would suggest than we're aware of, right? So if we're startling or catching people, you know, or these entities, phenomena, et cetera, off guard, that means they had an agenda. They were there to do something. They weren't expecting to run into people. So what are they up to? I don't know. It suggests something deeper. That's where I'm going with it.
Well, again, there's so much speculation here, and it's all we can do. But, you know, some of the speculation is that these creatures may seem to feel that they're in a situation where they should not be able to be observed for whatever activity they're doing, and then suddenly they find themselves in a position where they can be seen, and they react very interestingly when this takes place.
Just perceiving that further on here, are we saying here that Bigfoot and UFOs are kissing cousins, as it were?
You know, the point I've been trying to make for a long time is I am not trying to state that Bigfoot is a passenger and a UFO, a spacecraft from another planet, because nobody knows. We don't even know for sure what the UFOs represent. You know, of course, for years and years, many people, and I was one of those people in the early days, that always thought these things had to be extraterrestrial. What else could they be? Well, now that I've interviewed thousands of witnesses on thousands of UFO cases over the years, that there's a lot of interesting aspects to it that makes you wonder. I mean, some of these objects are, you might, maybe craft. Many are seen in daylight. Some have been seen at very close range. Some of them have physically changed form right in front of witnesses. Sometimes they suddenly appear and disappear. And I've had cases over the years. I remember one years ago, there was a group of people standing there, and apparently this large object was hovering overhead, and only a couple people within the group could see it, and the others couldn't. So could it be, again, that there's maybe under certain conditions, or do certain people have certain abilities that they're able to perceive the phenomena that other people can't? They're more sensitive to it for whatever reason. So there's so many aspects of it, what we're dealing with, and it's so strange and unusual. You know, I said years ago, the phenomenon is so strange it protects itself, because unless you've been involved in it or have an experience, it's very hard to believe some of these things could exist.
How far back, Stan, do these stories go? I mean, you're tracking modern events, et cetera, but do you do any research back into, say, native lore, First Peoples lore, something to see if there's correlation between what you're, you know, is there any overlap between any of this historically?
I've done a little bit, but I know other researchers have looked a lot here in Pennsylvania, going back to the Native Americans. I can tell you with the Bigfoot phenomena, there are Native American accounts in Pennsylvania. There are many newspaper accounts from the 1800s. That talk about Bigfoot encounters, large tracks being found. So this phenomenon is nothing new. And with UFOs, of course, there are many records of the airships, the great airships of the 1890s, including from Pennsylvania. I know there's many, many news accounts over the years from years after the 1920s through the 40s and up to the present of multitudes of UFO cases throughout the state and I'm sure throughout the country. So both of these phenomena are not something that just suddenly happened. They've been around for a long time. And, you know, some of these cases we had back in the 70s, I mean, they were most amazing. The one case that really caught our attention, and it's been written up all over the world, and it's a long, long case. So I'm not going to get into all the great detail, but the basic part of the story was it was during the major flap of 73. I got a call from the state police barracks at Uniontown in Fayette County. I just talked to a trooper called me who just came back from this incident, and he wanted me to get a team up there as soon as possible. It was a multiple witness UFO landing of what in the sky appeared to be a barn-sized red sphere about 100 feet off the ground moving downward. And so multiple people were seeing this thing coming down. It was taking place out on a farm, and the farmer's son was just coming up to visit him that day when he saw the object coming down. He went up onto a hill to get a better view, and it looked like it was going to land in his dad's pasture. So he and two neighbor boys decided they were going to go up to see what this thing is. They stopped at his dad's farm, grabbed a .30-06 and a handful of ammunition. In that ammunition were two tracers, as well as regular ammo. And as these three are proceeding down the farm lane, the dogs in the area are going crazy. They hear this high-pitched whining sound and this loud baby crying sounds. As they get their truck closer to the area, they have their truck on an angle. They have the headlights on, and they had never noticed this before, but it looked like something was draining the power from the headlights. And as they're walking up towards the pasture, they walk up to the hill. They stop up there, and they're suddenly just cannot believe what they're seeing, because about 250 feet away, this object is now in the pasture on the ground or right above it. But now it's a big white hemisphere, like a big white dome, about 100 feet or so in diameter, illuminating the whole area, making this loud whining noise. And they're just standing there. They can't believe what they're seeing. They're trying to figure this thing out. And as they're watching, their attention is drawn to this barbed wire fence about 75 feet distance, and along that barbed wire fence are these two huge creatures, one behind the other, slowly walking towards them. The one in front is about 8 feet tall. The fence post is 6 feet. This thing's about 8 feet tall. The one behind is a little smaller, around 7 feet tall. Now, the primary witness, the older fellow, has been hunting for years. He knows animals. He knows a bear. First thought was it's got to be a bear, but then realized these things are bipedal. The arms are so long, are hanging down almost to the ground. They're covered with long, dark, matted hair. They have luminous, glowing green eyes and are making this baby crying, whining noise, and they're moving very slowly, stiffly, one behind the other as they're making that crying, whining noise. So Skeeter runs out of the field. The other skid starts yelling, shoot him, shoot him. So the guy takes his first shot.
We'll find out what happened after that first shot. Stan Gordon, Gene Steinberg, Mark Jackson, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So J. Randall Murphy's on special assignment, his first special assignment since becoming the co-host of the Paracast. We have Mark Jackson, a real scientist, joining us. And we're talking to Stan Gordon about somebody firing a shot at a Bigfoot. And what happened next?
Okay, so he fires that first tracer, which he just get that luminous trail from that tracer. He fires a second tracer, and when he does, there's an interesting reaction from the largest creature. It lets out one of those loud whining crying sounds, reaches out as though to grab the tracer, and the exact moment it does that, that huge object in the field suddenly vanishes and disappears. So most of the luminosity is gone, but all that brightness is gone, the sound stopped, the whining noise is gone, and at that point, the two creatures turn around, start walking along the barbed wire fence back towards the woods. At that point, he's firing his 30-06 with live ammo, mainly concentrating that largest of the creature, and he said, look, I've been hunting for years, he said, I know I'm hitting that thing, and he said, there's no effect on it whatsoever, and he said, until he passed away, he said, I'll never forget how that creature just stared at me with those glowing green eyes as I'm firing live ammo by 30-06 into him with no reaction whatsoever. And they ran back to the truck, went back to the farmhouse, told the family what happened, took it to the neighbor, and they called the state police. When the trooper arrived, around 45 minutes later, the witness said, look, just forget about it. You're going to think I'm nuts. Trooper said, look, he said, we got a report of two similar creatures up on their mountain the night before. I have to go up and investigate the report. So they went up in the troop car, and they're up there looking around the area for evidence. The trooper told me, he walked over the area where the thing was reportedly on the ground. He said, the whole area was soft luminescent and glowing, about 100 feet or more in diameter. He said the farm animals wouldn't go anywhere near it. He shined his flashlight beam into it. You could barely see the beam. And he said if he had a newspaper, was crouched down, he could read the newspaper from the glow coming off that glowing area. And again, there's so much more to the story. We don't have time to get into it all. It gets stranger and stranger. But what happened was they went back to the state police barracks. And when they did, both the trooper and the witness were taken to two separate rooms and separately interviewed. And then they called me to send my team up. It was already late by the time I got the call, but we got our radiation equipment, we got our equipment all packed up, and we got there in the early morning hours, and when we got there, the radiation levels were normal. The glowing area was gone. The animals still wouldn't go anywhere near the area. It's a long, long, involved case. Back then, the well-known psychiatrist, Dr. Berthold Schwartz, spent a week up here interviewing all the people. I know he wrote some information articles about it. Went away convinced these people are all telling the truth. At times, we do still get these reports. They could be a lot more common than a lot of people realize, except many people and many witnesses are even more reluctant to talk about the stranger aspects of both phenomena for various reasons. But it's going on, been going on for a long time. There's actually a new documentary that I have a part in that could be out any day now. It's called Paranormal Bigfoot from Bilko Productions. And that's going to talk a lot about these type of reports because there is more and more interest in this phenomenon in recent years. And more people are asking the same question I did many years ago. If Bigfoot is real and it's an unknown species of animal, why don't we have a body by now? It makes no sense. And if you're interested, I'll tell you about a particular case in 74 that gave us a clue to why we have no bodies of Bigfoot here in Pennsylvania or anywhere else probably.
Yeah, please continue.
So as all these cases are occurring back during that time, and they're continuing in the 74, and we're getting more reports in from widespread areas from different people, we had one particular case that really was quite fascinating. February 6, 1974, also way in the mountains of Fayette County, again, near the ridge up near Ohio. Well, a lot of people who are listening to the show might remember this time period because of the fact that, one, we had a national trucker strike. There was gas rationing taking place. There was a lot of violence on the roads and highways across the country. So here in Pennsylvania, because of what was happening, the National Guard and the state police were patrolling together. So interestingly, there were personnel from both the Guard and the state police that responded to this incident. I couldn't get up there the next morning because nobody had gas where I lived, so I had to wait to get gas the next morning. This woman who lived in the mountains all her life, knew animals well, was a very good shot, pretty much not afraid of anything. She's sitting there watching TV that evening. It's February 6, 1974. As she's watching TV, she hears this commotion on her little front porch of her cabin home. She has some cans, empty cans of pop out there, and someone's knocking the pop cans around. Prior to that, a few weeks before, I believe it was, there had been a pack of wild dogs that moved through the area, so she thought maybe the dogs are back. So she thought, you know what, I'll just grab my shotgun and I'll just fire over their head and I'll scare those dogs away. So that was her intention. So she grabs her shotgun, loads the chamber, and she makes her way over and turns on the switch for the front porch light. She goes over to the door and opens up and steps out on the front porch. And surprisingly, there was no dogs there, but 2 to 3 feet in front of her, I believe it was, there's this huge, hairy Bigfoot creature standing right there with his arm straight up over its head. What does she do? She fires right into it. She said there's this bright flash of light, like the flash on a camera, and the creature vanished right in front of her and disappeared. Now, interestingly, that's not the end of the story. Her in-laws lived about 100 feet away. They heard the gunshot, and they called her on the phone to see what was going on, and she explained to them what she had just seen. So her son-in-law grabs his pistol, and he starts walking up that dark road up towards her cabin home. As I recall, he saw a figure running down the road. He couldn't identify what it was or who it was. But as he got closer, he said he was surrounded by 4 or 5 hairy people with eyes like coals of fire. Started shooting at it randomly and ran into the cabin. It's around that same time, as they're looking out, that there's this large object like a big Christmas ornament hovering over the trees at the same time. That's when they called the state police. My team and I went up. We met an animal officer from up in that area. We were all searching for evidence. In the woods, we found a BB pattern from the gun that she had fired from the porch right in line where she had shot at the creature. I interviewed the primary state police investigator, and he said to me, he said, I don't know what happened up here, but something very strange took place. I mean, this has been not only with dogs, but it's been with horses and cattle, cats, different animals, where we've got this from the people who knew their animals well, and these animals all reacted very unusual at the time. But very commonly, with a lot of UFO, some of UFO reports, but mainly with a lot of Bigfoot reports, when these creatures are close to the animals, even the most ferocious dogs, they're just like paralyzed. They will not bark. They shake. They cower. They'll hide wherever they can. People said they watched them laying on the ground and their eyes just roaring around without making any sound. Now, the trooper told me when he got to the scene, everything was quiet. The dogs wouldn't make a sound. There was one dog, I'm not sure if it was an Eskimo Spitz or German Shepherd, but it was in a cage, and he opened that up because the dog wasn't moving. He tried to pull the dog out. Dog should have ripped his arm off. The dog wouldn't even move. That was not the only case we had, which suggested that these things could appear and disappear when shot at.
More to come. Stan, Mark, and Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The city of Aurora, Illinois is setting up a GoFundMe page for the victims of Friday's shooting at a manufacturing plant. The Aurora Strong Community Fund hopes to raise around $50,000 for the families of the 5 people who died and the people who were injured, including police officers. Aurora Police Chief Kristen Zeman on the mood of her officers.
There's a lot of somberness knowing that lives lost. As I was talking to a few officers, they said they felt like they saved a lot of lives today, but they're going to be concentrating on the 4, on the 5 victims that they couldn't. And so right now there's, on one hand, a sigh of relief that our officers are going to be okay.
President Trump spending the holiday weekend at his Mar-a-Lago resort as reaction continues to come in from him declaring a national emergency. At least three lawsuits are in the works, and Democrats are planning to block the move in Congress. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
When I found out I had diabetes a while back, I thought, hey, this isn't going to get better unless I really make a fundamental change. And along with that, I got on board with Balance of Nature. So I'm going to do a lot of things right, but I think I can't tell you how much how good it feels to have some of the issues that I was dealing with completely gone.
Every winter, I usually get a really bad laryngitis, cold. I didn't get it this past year. I don't know if it's a coincidence, but I didn't get it this year at all.
Use discount code USA for 35% off your first preferred set of fruits and veggies with free shipping. This offer is going to end between now and February, so act fast. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so they disappear, these creatures, Stan Gordon, when you shoot at them. Were they ever really there physically, or were they just projections of some sort? Isn't that weird?
Well, yeah, I mean, some cases there was physical evidence on the ground, such as, footprints, and some cases there weren't. In some cases, people shot at them and they just fell down and ran and went back into the woods or were not injured. But there have been some incidents where these things have people shot at them. They disappeared in a flash of light. In more recent years, and this is not just in Pennsylvania, throughout the country, many Bigfoot researchers and people out there in different areas where there's been a history of Bigfoot activity have been coming back, and I've interviewed many of them, and they told me they're seeing these strange, for a better term, orbs of light or small spheres of light or other strange light phenomena in the trees and close to the ground and sometimes coming close to the investigators in the area where Bigfoot activity is taking place. So they're seeing the strange phenomena, but they're not seeing Bigfoot. So there's a lot more to this than anybody realizes. It's very complex. There's a lot of oddities about the Bigfoot program. I have a whole lecture I do on it called Strange Aspects of Elusive Bigfoot and Why There's No Bodies of Bigfoot. And more people now are starting to pay attention to this because they're wondering the same thing. You know, why don't we have more physical evidence of Bigfoot after so many years?
Stan, can you recall any cases where witnesses have described technology being on their person, being on a Bigfoot, any handheld devices? Is any belts, anything at all, any connection with technology on them?
You know, I've heard some of those stories from out of state. I cannot think of any cases I can think of in Pennsylvania where I had that turn up. But I can remember some cases from going back to probably 70s and 80s, and I've heard sporadic reports from around the country where a few people have mentioned seeing something like a Bigfoot with some type of like a box device or a belt or something around them, but it's not something that I've heard here in Pennsylvania.
So for me, I come at the field sort of nuts and bolts perspective on this phenomena, and I approached Bigfoot in the same way, if, you know, I believe it is possible. So what does that mean for me? I'd always went back to a Gigantopithecus, some sort of crossbreeding with Neanderthal. And, of course, we know today that the genealogical data does not support direct lineages across the different humanoid species. Of course, there's interbreedings documented genetically with Neanderthals, et cetera. But I'm sitting here trying to rectify, is this a Chewbacca? You know, do we have a space-faring race of Wookiees out there, or is it something more primordial, something more like what do you think of when you think of fairies and trolls and something to that effect?
Well, yeah, there's other researchers out there that are looking at this as well, and they feel that a lot of these different entities, that some of these may all be somehow interconnected. But one thing that I found long ago, and it's still going on, is that many close-range, low-level UFO sightings and many encounters with Bigfoot and other cryptids commonly occur in the vicinity of high-energy sources. And I don't think there's any doubt about this. Many occur around power plants, high-tension power lines, railroad tracks, gas lines, gas wells, radio communication towers, reservoirs, goes on and on and on. I have no doubt that a lot of the phenomena we're dealing with is energy-related. You know, some of these cases from around the country are very unusual. I'm not the only one that's been finding some of this, and others, and some well-known people like Nick Redfern and Glenda Moulton Howe and others have talked and written about some of these cases themselves over the years. I had that one case back in 73 where two witnesses outside of Pittsburgh saw this huge, hairy-covered Bigfoot with white hair running across the road, but in one of its hand, it was carrying a small, luminous ball of light. And it ran into the woods, and a short time later, this object came across the sky and projected a beam of light down into the woods where the creature had run into. I mean, there's just so much out there that people are unaware of. And some of these cases last year are showing the same kind of phenomena showing up. I mean, we had some amazing reports come in. And again, these are people generally from the general public. These are not people who are into UFOs and Bigfoot. The people are very reluctant to come in and describe what they're seeing and experiencing. And I'll tell you when we're done here about this that happened just last week, because I got a very detailed statement today from the people involved. They said the same thing, and they had no idea that they were telling me something was most fascinating. But, I mean, some of the incidents have been just, very close range, very detailed reports coming in. A couple of things has happened, and there's many, just in the last year. In May of last year, in Greene County, outside of Pittsburgh, during the afternoon, a woman is at her house closing a window because the storm's approaching. About 150 feet away, over her neighbor's home, she sees this dark, half-like saucer-shaped object hovering about right over top of her, about 20, 25 feet over the area. And, excuse me, it's about 150 feet over the area, about 20, 25 feet in length, about 8 to 10 feet high. It banks and moves off to the southeast. A couple days later, not far from there, on the border between Greene and Washington County, a person's riding down the road. They see a vehicle pulled off. There's a person side of the vehicle pointing up a hill. The person standing next to that vehicle pointing up the hill. Then this person slows down, and they look and they see, here's this, from that distance, looked like a 6.5 to 7 foot tall, upright creature covered with black or brown hair, walked bipedal on two legs, came out of the tree line, took 4 or 5 steps, was close enough that they could see this was not a bear, had no muzzle like a bear, and turned around and walked back into the woods. So, again, it's just coincidence. You have a UFO sighting. Short time later, you have a Bigfoot sighting. Here's another one. This was outside of Pittsburgh in July. I got a report of a sighting, of a UFO sighting. This was early July, mid-July. This was at a business section of Pittsburgh in the evening, so most everything's closed down. And this witness observes this kind of an orange-colored vertical object hovering about 100 feet above a building area. And another person saw it, we know of, and the thing kind of hovering there, then it moves off across the sky. Within the hour, miles away outside of Pittsburgh, there was a family having a large outdoor gathering out in the woods. They had a big fire going, and they were cooking a lot of food, had a lot of music going. And multiple people were involved with this. It all began with the family's large dog. And the dog began to get extremely upset and was barking and carrying on. And then they began to hear something very heavy, taking very, very heavy bipedal steps in the woods, getting closer. And now this party, this picnic, was a pretty large area. So there were people out there dancing and having fun and sitting around the campfire, some people, whatever. They began to hear these loud growls, and the dog began to growl back the same way. But at one point, apparently, this large creature was standing pretty close to this big campfire. And from the luminosity from the campfire, the one witness got a good look at this thing. He said this huge creature, and he was just mesmerized by the sight of this thing. It stood with two legs, long arms outstretched. The man said this thing was at least 8 foot tall, appeared to be very muscular and massive, with broad shoulders covered with long, dark hair. He said that he actually could hear the creature breathing profoundly and heavily, and he watched his huge chest moving in and out as it was breathing. And he said he was very fearful of this thing, but the thing never moved towards him. It had luminous, glowing red eyes. At least that's what it appeared. May have been some reflection from the fire. And then it was swaying back and forth and then turned and went back into the woods. So more than one person saw it. They all heard it. They heard the noise it was making, the loud noises it was making, and the dog was reacting very, very shook up and very agitated from it. So it was a very detailed case. Another researcher, Dave Dragason, who is known for his forensic witness drawings with Bigfoot observers, and he did a very good sketch of this creature, which is on my website, by the way, stangordon.info.
We'll check out that website. Stan, Gene, and Mark, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Would you describe more detailedly exactly what kind of photo is on your site of this thing?
The witnesses were all interviewed. Dave Dragson is another well-known Pennsylvania Bigfoot researcher. He's also a forensic artist. So he's known for doing many sketches of Bigfoot based on what the witness described. He was able to meet with witnesses, and the one primary witness, he was able to get a very nice sketch based on what he saw, and that sketch is on my website as well. So here, again, you have a UFO sighting over a very populated area. Within the hour, only miles away, you have this interesting, very close-range Bigfoot sighting. So that's very intriguing, too. But the reports got even more interesting as the year went on. And there are multitudes of reports. I'm going to give you a highlight of some of the more interesting ones here. Up on the Chestnut Ridge, for example, again, back to the Chestnut Ridge outside of Derry, PA, outside of Lake Trobe, when there's been a lot of incidents. This was in early September of last year, and this is an area where there's been a long history of many Bigfoot sightings going on for years and years from a lot of different people. It was a very rainy night, and as his he's riding down the road, and his headlights about 75 feet away, he says this thing appeared out of nowhere. He says whatever it was, it appeared in the middle of the road, moving from left to right. When he first saw this thing, he said, it looked very foggy or misty, but he said you could definitely see what was a humanoid form, a foggy white form that was about 6.5 to 7 feet tall, seemed to be somewhat stooped over, and he said that it had a huge muscular shoulders and a small waist, and he said that he really couldn't see the legs and arms were not discernible, but he said what was so odd among what he was seeing was that it looked like it was floating down the road. And like it almost was gliding into the field and then it disappeared. But we get other reports like this as well. Again, not just Bigfoot, sometimes other cryptids as well. So that's fascinating. And then it was just weeks later, up on top of the ridge, that was only miles away from the ridge. Now this would have been in October, early October, up on top of the ridge along the wood line, beautiful morning, this person's taking a walk, very familiar with the bear in the area and the other animals. There's a lot of wildlife up through the ridges. She hears what sounds like a loud knock against a tree, and she's looking around, and anyhow, she's walking into the woods. There's this big, dark tree trunk, and then she realizes there's something right near by the tree. It didn't move at that point. As she's looking closer to this thing, she realizes that about 20 feet away from her, there's this large, dark, humanoid creature hugging the tree as though trying to camouflage itself. She said this thing is about 7 feet tall, cut with black hair, looking about 3 inches in length. The creature seemed to be tall and thin, but she couldn't show her lower extremities due to the way the creature was positioned against the tree. She said she could see the face look pale and wasn't sure there was any hair on it. The nose wasn't prominent, seemed to be pushed in. There was no muzzle like a bear. The witness could not see any ears on the creature. The physical feature caught the witness was that the eyes were very large, much larger than the human, more round, and they were very dark or black in color. And the creature was shifting its eyes around nervously, moving them back and forth. And when the eyes were shifted in the corner, she said she could see a white around them, commented that they looked almost like alien-looking eyes that were so strange-looking. The creature had both of its very long, hairy arms wrapped around the trunk of the tree. The hair on the arms was black and wiry. It had its cheeks against the tree and was looking directly at her. It gave her the impression it was trying to hide from the witness. She stated that the way it was way too close to be this thing, and she ran away about 10 feet away to another tree to try to get back her composure, and she had her cell phone with her. She was going to try to get a picture of this thing. So a short time later, she hurries back to where it was, and it's not there. It's gone. But she thought it was a little odd that it was only 10 feet away. It's big, and she heard no sound of this thing coming or going. So that's kind of interesting, too. Then in November, we had probably, I'd say, one of the most detailed Bigfoot sightings we've had in a long time. This was early November. This was down in the Mon Valley area outside of Pittsburgh. Mon Valley are all these small little towns that border along the Monongahela River. A lot of history of a lot of phenomena down in the Mon Valley, from Bigfoot sightings and a Thunderbird report, even odd creatures in the river, just all kind of weird phenomena, and the UFO sightings, all kind of phenomena along the Mon Valley for years and years. This was a fellow who had never seen anything, really didn't believe in these things, didn't really care about it. It was a very dark, cold, rainy night. He's riding down this road, and he notices there appears to be something on the left side of the two-lane road just standing there. He slowly moves towards it, turns on his high beams. He's about 50 feet away at that point. Moves a little closer, has his high beams up, and suddenly this huge hair-covered creature walks into the road right in front of him, stops 5 feet in front of his vehicle. The witness said he was stunned as this creature stopped and turned and looked directly at him. This thing turns, and it walks out onto the roadway, and it's about 5 feet in front of him, and then he's stunned as the creature stops, and it turns and looks directly at him with his glowing red eyes, and then it takes very long strides as it leaps across the road from left to right. You can see it's very long arms swinging as it ran. The hands of the creature were in a closed, or as a witness stated, like a cup position. And the creature continued to run up the slight hill. The motorist told me that he grabbed for his cell phone to try to get a picture, and he followed the thing in the vehicle for just a very short distance. He said in a matter of seconds, he lost sight of it and it was gone. He said this quick disappearance baffled him, since he thought he still should have been able to see it even in the dark, moving off, but he couldn't. Now, you know, we're thinking a possibility that maybe the thing moved off the side of the road or outside of the illumination of the headlights, but his eyes were already adjusted to the dark. He was seeing this thing, and he thought it was very strange that it was suddenly just gone. But he gave a great detail of what this thing looked like, with a shaggy brown and black hair on much of the body. We've heard this on a rare occasion before. He said there were some sections of the body where the hair was missing or very sparse, like it may have had mange. The head, he said, was about the size of a watermelon, and the face was long and narrow, and he just gave a very, very detailed account of this thing. Now, he was contacted 15 minutes after it happened, was definitely shaking on the phone, very, very shook up. I met at the scene with him the next day. We searched for evidence. Unfortunately, it rained all night. The area was covered with leaves. We found a possible footprint who had been standing on the side of the road, but not conclusive. He was still very shook up, very, very good witness, very, very detailed, and that's just kind of what's going on. But the reports continue. They continued, again, throughout other areas. Some of the reports, again, we're getting are just very, very strange, and I'm just going through my list here. There's so many different reports of phenomena going on. I told you about some reports up there on the ridge and other reports of footprints being found up in those areas as well. there was another incident that happened, and this would have been November. Now, this is not far from me. This is a major highway between Greensburg and Delmont, Pennsylvania. I got a call from one of the drivers of one of the vehicles, said he and another vehicle are driving down the road that evening. Of course, it's dark, and they have their high beams on, and suddenly they both stop in the middle of the road because here's this huge 7 to 8 foot tall, huge hair-covered creature with wide shoulders, long arms and legs. You can see the whole silhouette of the body. It's standing there right in the middle of the road, and he said the strangest thing was it never turned and walked off the road. It just suddenly vanished right in front of us. And he said this other car pulled up next to him, put a window down, and said, did you see that? And he said, yeah, and he took off. So we hope to find that fellow, too. Within a week, only miles away in another area, another fellow in daylight, fellow was working the area, passed through. He reported seeing a 7 to 8 foot tall, broad-shouldered, hair-covered creature over a hill and then walking through a field. And that's very intriguing. And then, among other reports, is this report that just happened last week. And just to show you, you know, how people react to this type of thing, but the couple that were involved were extremely reluctant to report it. They told a relative about it, and the relative suggested they contact me, and the relative called me and was telling me about what the family, the couple, had what had been encountered. And I heard they're in the background. I knew they were there. And finally, the witness did decide to talk to me and gave me we talked for, I probably interviewed them for an hour, hour and a half. Very credible, very detailed, very reluctant to talk about it, still very shook up.
What a story. And, you know, with Stan Gordon, he's one of those guests where you sit back, relax, and he'll tell you 1,001 stories, all more fascinating than the other. Mark, Gene, and Stan, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.